You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I'm excited to come around the Word today. And we're continuing on from Vision Sunday last week. And what a morning last week was in church. If you weren't able to be here and you haven't been able to listen to Pastor Lee share our vision for 2025, can I encourage you to set aside time to do that? It's available on our website because it gives us perspective for where we're headed as a church, what we're believing for, so that you know we can walk together in unity toward all that God has for us. So this year, we're believing to see the unseen by faith. See the unseen by faith. You know, see the unseen in my life, see the unseen in my church, and see the unseen in my world. And, you know, our key scripture around this is Hebrews 11:1. It said, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, can I encourage you to let that scripture stir in your heart? Because faith causes us to believe for greater. You know, to believe to see things that maybe we didn't think were possible before. To see the unseen and then take steps of action toward it. You know, we've been asking the question, and we asked the question last week, what is the unseen that I'm believing to see in my life, in my family? You know, what is the vision that God has placed on my heart for 2025? And you know, we had the opportunity to fill out these cards, you know, to take a step of faith and write down what we're believing for so that we can believe together as a church for it. And you know, if you didn't get to do that, they're available at the back of the room to do on your way out this morning, because we're going to spend time praying for these things this year. And you know, over the last week, we've been spending time in prayer and fasting. You know, believing and seeking God. You know, we quieted our souls. And, you know, it's been a moment for us to take the dreams and the visions and the things that we're believing to see this year and ask God for strategy, for insight, for direction and action for us, that it wouldn't just be words that we write down on a piece of paper, but it would be a reality in 2025. You know, the thing with faith is that usually the things that we're believing for are beyond us. You know, I don't know about you, but the things that I'm believing for in 2025, they're beyond me. You know, I can't make them happen. I can't manufacture them. You know, it requires God to move. They're beyond me. But God-given visions, they require Spirit-empowered actions. You know, God-given visions require action on our part. You know, God-given visions can't be fulfilled in our own strength. You know, a vision that God gives to you can't be fulfilled if you try to do it by yourself. Because God outcomes require God's empowerment. You know, God can do extraordinary things, and we've seen Him do extraordinary things time and time again. But He often does it through ordinary people like you and me. You know, it's not even the action that we do. It's not the things that we do that are special, but it's the power of God upon them. You know, as we're believing to see the unseen this year, as we're believing to see these things that are beyond us, you know, can I encourage you that it's not by our own strength? You know, it's not by our own strength. We don't have to do this by ourselves. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 19, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. You know, Paul's prayer in this scripture is that the reader would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all of us. You know, God's power, it goes beyond comprehension. You know, it goes beyond what we can understand. You know, it's the same power that created the universe, the same power that created you and I, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, that same power is alive and working in us today. You know, that same power, it's already working inside of you. know, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, that power is at work within us for our salvation. You know, it changes our heart. It changes the way that we walk, we talk, we think, renews our minds daily. You know, this year, you might be believing for things that feel big, that feel like they're beyond you, beyond what you could do. But we don't go out in our own strength. You know, we have God's power on our side. We don't walk in our own strength, but we walk empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, can we ask God to give us a revelation of His power? You know, I don't think it's a mistake that the scripture we just read is a prayer that God would open our eyes of understanding. That's a prayer for us. You know, it's not something we can just do. It's not just something that we can just think about for a while and all of a sudden it makes sense. You know, it's a prayer that we, a heartfelt prayer that we make, that God, would you open my eyes of understanding to see your power, to see the depths of your power. No, because then we don't just have faith, but we have a greater understanding of who we put our faith in. No, we don't just have faith, but we have a greater understanding of who we put our faith in. Now, I'm going to read an example from Acts 2 of a time where we saw God's power manifest. You know, we saw the people have an encounter with God. And, you know, we see that God has given the disciples the Great Commission. You know, to go into all the world and make disciples. But he's also given them an instruction to not leave until they've received his empowerment, until they've received the Holy Spirit, because they couldn't do it on their own. You know, the disciples who lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus while he was on earth, that wasn't enough. The knowledge wasn't enough. The practical experience wasn't enough. They needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They needed a helper. So Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. You know, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? And we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? You know, the encounters with God should change us for purpose. You know, encounters with God change us for purpose. You know, for the disciples in Acts 2, we see that suddenly they have this incredible encounter with God. You know, they have this incredible encounter with God. You know, this wasn't just a regular Sunday morning service. You know, this was a moment that was orchestrated by God that brought change, empowerment, and marked them for purpose. You know, can you imagine it? You know, meeting together in the presence of God and all of a sudden having the supernatural ability to do things that you couldn't do before. You know, it's beyond belief. But when we experience God, it can be like this. You know, when we experience and encounter God and His presence, you know, it should change us for purpose. You know, for the disciples, that moment served a purpose for them. Because in that moment, they were empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit to share the good news. You know, maybe for them it was a practical way that they could speak in different languages. You know, this wasn't just a cool thing that happened. It was for purpose. It was so they could share the good news. Now, I think it would be pretty cool, don't you think? Like what might take hours and hours of dedication on Duolingo was completed in an instant. You know, at that very moment, the commission that God had given them became possible. You know, God gave them exactly what was required, and that was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus had instructed them to wait for the Holy Spirit before starting their mission because they couldn't do it alone. And like the disciples, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, if we're going to see the unseen this year, if we're going to see the things that we're believing for come to pass, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what we're believing for might seem great, it might seem beyond us, but our God is greater. Our God is greater. And you know, following on from this moment, we see many examples of the disciples seeing the extraordinary. You know, not because of their knowledge, not because of their training, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You know, Peter boldly speaks to the crowd about Jesus and 3,000 people are saved. You know, in Acts 3, Peter and John, they see a crippled man healed. You know, the disciples themselves, they weren't special. You know, they were ordinary people, humans, just like us. But the Holy Spirit gave them the empowerment to see the unseen, to see God's will fulfilled. And that same Spirit is at work in us today. That same Spirit is working in us every day. Now, because encounters with God, they're for purpose and they should bring change in us. You know, the Holy Spirit's empowerment is not just for our Sunday. You know, the Holy Spirit's empowerment is for our every day. You know, maybe we encounter God, maybe we have this incredible moment on a Sunday in the presence of God. We encounter Him, but do we let it change us? You know, what's different? What's different after? Because encounters with God, they're for more than just making us feel good. You know, they're for more than just making us feel good. You know, the disciples, they allowed that moment to change them. You know, do we allow our encounters with God to change us? Because when we encounter God, it's about more than just getting us through to next week, getting us through to next Sunday. You know, it's a catalyst moment for real change in us. They draw us closer to God and allow Him to work in us. So after I encounter God, you know, do I let it cause me to walk differently? You know, when I encounter God, do I let it cause me to talk differently, to think differently, to believe differently? Because encounters with God are for purpose and they should bring change. You know, last week at Vision Sunday, Pastor Lee shared about a generational faith. You know, I think it's amazing that for us as a church that we stand on testimony upon testimony of God's goodness for us as Gateway. You know, we stand today, we stand in God's provision for us as a church. You know, that provision was made a reality through the faith of those who have gone before us. You know, if it wasn't for the faith of those who went before us, the church wouldn't own a building. The church wouldn't own property. And this foundation of faith is what we stand on today. You know, may it continue strong in us that we would leave an even greater foundation for those who come after. You know, those who came before us had to put faith into action and they had to step out to see our church find a permanent home. You know, to establish a place for God's will to be fulfilled in our lives and in our community. But what is God calling for us to establish for the next generation? You know, our faith is not just for today, but it's for the next generation. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You know, Paul starts off this passage by highlighting Timothy's faith. You know, he's commending him for his faith. You know, church, I want to commend you for your faith. That we're stepping out in faith. You know, the very action of writing things down that we're believing for is a step out in faith. You know, and I want to commend you for that. Because we're a church that in 2025, we're after God's will for us. We're after the bigger things. You know, that we're going to see the unseen. But you know, that passage, it goes on to say, for this reason, fan into flame the gift of God. You know, because of your faith to believe, because of your desire, fan into flame the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, Paul's reminding Timothy that he isn't walking in his own strength, that the Holy Spirit is desiring to empower him, but he needs to allow the Holy Spirit to work through his life. You know, it says, fan into flame the gift of God. And you know, when I think of fanning something into flame, you know, it's usually embers. You know, there's usually something that's already happening. And you also don't try to fan a large flame. Like you don't go out to a bonfire and... But what does fanning into flame do? You know, it produces a fire from something that is already burning. You know, because the Holy Spirit is the source of power. You know, when we fan into flame the gift of God on our lives, we're not creating something. We're not making something out of nothing, but we're allowing the Holy Spirit to move. You know, those embers that are in our hearts that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us in, you know, that's what we're fanning into flame. You know, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect your gift which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, I want to encourage you to not neglect what God has put on your life. You know, this passage, it's talking to Timothy again. You know, he'd had an encounter with God. You know, he'd had a moment. He was prayed for and he was given a God-given ability. Timothy was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, but he had a tendency to underestimate that the outcome could be achieved. You know, despite what God had put in his life, despite the empowerment that God had given to him, you know, he had a tendency to neglect it. You know, maybe it was because the task that was in front of him seemed too big. Maybe he didn't feel equipped for it. You know, maybe for us, we don't believe that the small actions that we can take will make a difference. You know, maybe we think it doesn't matter if I'm honest about my faith with those around me. You know, it doesn't matter if I choose to live differently, choose to live the life that God has called me to live. But know that God desires to move powerfully through us in the Holy Spirit, but it requires activation on our part. Because our actions empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's enough. You know, our actions, no matter how small they might feel, you know, when we act on them and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, it's enough. You know, 1 Timothy 4, it also says, you know, don't look anyone look down on you because you are young. You know, I think we can often overlook ourselves because what we're believing for seems so big. You know, we can overlook and feel adequate in the face of what we're believing to see, the breakthrough that we're believing to see. You know, that maybe, you know, maybe I'm not enough. You know, maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe what I do won't make a difference. It's just always going to be this way. But it's not by our own strength. You know, it's our actions empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, and our God is the God who does big things with the small. You know, Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the days of small beginnings. You know, we serve the God who causes a mustard seed to grow into a great tree. You know, something that seems so small. Something that seems so small, but our actions empowered by the Holy Spirit is more than enough. You know, maybe what I have to bring to the table, you know, what I can do in the natural feels like a mustard seed and I'm believing for a great tree. You know, maybe what you're believing for this year feels big and what you have in your hand feels like a mustard seed. But don't underestimate what God can do through the small things. You know, don't underestimate what God can do through the small things, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, let's be a people that activate the small things in believing for the big things. You know, let's be a church who activate the small things in believing for the big things. You know, don't let that feeling stop you from planting the seed. You know, I had a moment a few years ago where I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me that I needed to tell someone in my life something simple and something, you know, that I maybe didn't think would make a difference. So, you know, I put it on the shelf. You know, I thought about it every now and then, but, you know, I never went to the length of telling them because it didn't feel like it was going to make a difference. You know, it didn't feel like it was that big of a thing. And, you know, it was more than just a conversation that I was meant to have. You know, the Holy Spirit had something even greater in mind. And, you know, God brought me back to it a few years later and I, you know, I acted on it. And in that moment, I realized that what was a simple conversation meant so much more through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't despise the small things. Don't despise the small things. You know, I didn't think it would make a difference because it didn't seem like it was a big thing to me. But for the context of that relationship, it meant so much more. You know, God wanted me to fan that into flame. You know, but I overlooked the significance for one. And number two, I let timidity stand in the way. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, it continues, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You know, the Spirit that lives in us is not timid. The Spirit that lives in us is not timid. You know, the vision can seem great, but the Spirit of God in us is not timid. You know, what we're believing for can seem great, but the Spirit of God in us is powerful. You know, I want to encourage you that God is not overwhelmed by the size of our obstacles. You know, God's not surprised by our needs. You know, He knows the beginning from the end. You know, He's not surprised by what we go through. You know, these things we've written down on these cards, you know, God's not surprised by them. You know, we may feel timidity, but I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit produces in us power, boldness, and strength. You know, and when we feel timid, we can declare God's power over our lives because we don't walk in our own strength, we walk in His strength. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, it says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, 'Lord, has the time come for You to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" You know, here's the disciples. They've been given the Great Commission. You know, but they're asking Jesus when He's going to do all the work. You know, He's spoken to them. They've had direction, but they're like, "God, when are You going to do it?" I like that it says that they kept asking Him. You know, "Jesus, when are You going to do it? Jesus, I'm waiting for You to do it." And, you know, I think that can be the same for us. You know, God puts these things in front of us to believe for. And we stand back and we say, "God, when are You going to do it?" Keep coming back and asking. It's like, "Jesus, you know, when are You going to complete the work?" When He's given us everything that we need, that He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to take steps of action toward it. You know, sometimes we can spend all our time and energy asking God, you know, "When are You going to make this happen, God? God, when's the breakthrough going to come?" But maybe He's asking us to take a step out in faith. You know, maybe He's asking us to do something, to make a Spirit-empowered action, no matter how small it feels, and to fan something into flame. You know, I'll share a testimony from our youth ministry here at Gateway. We went to Geelong United on Friday night. And if you don't know what that is, it's where the youth ministries from all over Geelong gather together. You know, we had over 400 young people at One Hope in Barrable Hills on Friday. And, you know, our youth ministry, to be honest, 12 months ago, we were the back row bandits. We like to sit on the back row at these events. And, you know, the experience of an event like that is very different from the back row because you're so, like, far away and disengaged. But the testimony is that on Friday, our young people made a beeline for the front row. And, you know, more than that, we saw over 70 young people across the event make a decision to follow Jesus, including some from our own youth ministry as well. So praise God. Praise God for that. You know, but there's been things that we've been believing for to see for a long time in our youth ministry. And, you know, we've wanted to see things change. We wanted to see, you know, we want to see young people on fire for Jesus, reaching their friends in their high schools, inviting them to youth, sharing Jesus' love, and, you know, walking in all that God has for them. Because they're so important, you know, for us as a church. You know, I truly believe they're not the next generation, they're the now generation. You know, they're so important to us. And, you know, we've been asking God, it's like, God, can we see breakthrough in these things? And we keep coming back. It's like, God, when are you going to do it? When are we going to see breakthrough? Where it was there all along. You know, it might have felt like a mustard seed. You know, it's like, let's invite some young people to sit in the front row on Sundays. But what felt like a mustard seed grew into a great tree. You know, little actions, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. As we ask God for strategy, as we ask Him for insight, you know, and we act upon it. We don't just sit back and say, God, when are you going to make it happen? God, when are you going to bring the breakthrough? God, when are we going to have tongues of fire on Friday night? You know, we need to take steps toward what God has for us. Because God-given visions, they require Spirit-empowered actions. You know, so what small step is God calling for me to take this week in seeing the unseen? You know, I want to read this scripture again, just as we come to the end. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. You know, this week, our challenge is to take a small step of faith. You know, and not a small step that we do in our own strength, but a small step that we take empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to encourage you, don't despise the days of small beginnings. You know, don't let the enemy tell you that what you have to bring doesn't matter. You know, God's given you exactly what you need. You know, your actions empowered by the Holy Spirit is what enables us to see the unseen. You know, maybe you've been believing for something for some time. You know, it's time to take another step. It's time to take another step toward it. You know, so what is a small step that I need to take this week to fan into flame the gift of God in my life? Now, can we just take a moment to close our eyes and, you know, let's pray and let's ask God to reveal that to us now. You know, God, I thank you that we don't walk this journey alone. God, we thank you that you've given us the faith to believe for big things. God, but I pray that you would open our eyes of understanding, that we would understand your great power that is at work in our lives. God, I pray that you would reveal to us insight, that you would reveal to us strategy. God, that you would give us direction about what are the physical steps that we need to take that will be empowered by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for individuals who have given up hope. God, I pray for individuals that feel like what they have to bring doesn't matter. I pray that you would give them peace, that you would give them comfort, and that you would give them strength. God, that you would bring revelation that we are positioned for purpose. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us now. And God, that as we go into our week, that we would walk in your strength. That we would walk in your strength. You know, if you don't yet know Jesus personally, you know, I want to encourage you that we're created for relationship with God. You know, we're not created to do this life alone, and God desires relationship with you. You know, you can know God personally and live a life that is empowered by God. You know, God didn't want anything to stand in the way of us not knowing him. You know, not the wrong things that we've done, not our unbelief, you know, not our sin. So he sent his son Jesus to earth to die on the cross for our sin. You know, the Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. You know, we deserved a punishment for the wrong things that we've done, for our pride, for our selfish desires, but God had a better plan, and that was Jesus. You know, that Jesus died on the cross in our place, and he rose again on the third day so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be in relationship with God. Because God wants to know you. He wants to be a part of your life. You know, he wants to walk with you. He wants to bring you comfort. He wants to bring you peace. You know, for us to experience that, all it requires is for us to make a heartfelt decision to believe in him and ask him to be a part of our lives. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if this morning, if you want to make that decision to say, God, I want you to be a part of my life. God, I want your forgiveness. You know, we're going to pray a prayer all together as a church. And all you have to do is pray it with us. And it starts an incredible journey of life with God. You'll never be the same. Your life will be changed today. You'll never be the same. So if that's you, I invite you to pray with us and we're going to pray all together. So dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I'm sorry for the wrong things I have done. I choose to follow you and your ways. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.